ABC Radio Australia.
Around the world, all eyes are focused on the escalating conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Scenes of violence and destruction have shocked people in the Pacific, with leaders around the region condemning Russia's invasion of its neighbor. While the Pacific may not appear to have strong links with Russia, history tells a different story. In the late 2000s, a number of Pacific countries supported Russia in recognizing two breakaway states in the aftermath of a different war. Could that happen again? Marion Farr takes a look.
When war broke out on the other side of the world in the late 2000s, one Pacific nation became involved in an unexpected way.
Nauru at that time was the first to recognise the independence of the Georgian provinces of Abkhazia and South Ossetia.
The conflict took place in the European country of Georgia in 2008. Separatists from two regions called Abkhazia and South Ossetia wanted independence, and they fought for it with support from Russia. Hundreds of people from both sides were killed and thousands displaced. But a year later, after the war ended, Nauru became one of the only countries in the world to join Russia in recognising the two republics.
In the wake of Nauru's announcement of that recognition, it also announced quite a significant payment in aid from the Russian Federation.
Dr. Kate Storr is an expert in international law who was working as an advisor to the government of Nauru at the time.
Nauru at that time was looking for alternative sources of foreign revenue. The first iteration of Australia's offshore refugee processing regime was winding down at that point, and the Russian Federation was there with quite a hefty offer of an aid payment in return for recognition of Abkhazia and South Ossetia's independence within the UN system.
Nauru received $50 million in aid from Russia following its recognition of the two republics. Former Nauruan president Sprint Dabuido has publicly denied that its support was bought with Russian aid. But experts aren't totally convinced.
The recognition of the independence of those provinces was a mode of supporting Russia's claim internationally to have a legitimate basis for that invasion.
In 2011, two other Pacific islands, Vanuatu and Tuvalu, followed Nauru's lead in recognising Abkhazia. Tuvalu also recognised South Ossetia, although Vanuatu did not. But in following years, both Pacific countries withdrew that recognition and announced their support for Georgia's sovereignty.
There were eyebrows raised at the time internationally, but Russia didn't succeed in drumming up much support for its attempt to frame its activities in those Georgian provinces as a struggle for independence of Abkhazia and South Ossetia.
Since then, Nauru has maintained diplomatic ties with Russia and continues to recognise the two republics. But could we see something similar play out again? Last month, Russia officially recognised the sovereignty of Luhansk and Donetsk in Ukraine, where another war is currently being waged. While Russia may again seek international recognition of the breakaway states, Dr. Storr thinks it's unlikely that Pacific nations would oblige.
Nauru would have some trouble framing any support for Russia in this invasion because it so clearly undermines the principle of self-determination, which Nauru has elsewhere been a vocal supporter of.
Dr. Alexei Muraviev, an expert in national security from Curtin University, makes a similar assessment.
Look, I think Moscow will try to seek similar support it managed to generate back in 2008, though I don't think their chances would be really strong.
He says Russia has voiced keen interest in the Pacific region in recent decades,
but it certainly did not translate into anything substantial.
And that became apparent in recent weeks when Pacific Island states, including Nauru, voted unanimously at the UN to condemn Russia's presence in Ukraine.
And it demonstrated that Russia, obviously, whilst developing strong interests with Pacific Island nations, first of all, didn't give them enough incentives for those Pacific nations to retain their loyalty towards Moscow. Secondly, as any minor powers, Pacific Island nations would obviously be concerned about assertive or in the case of Russia, aggressive actions which the country is undertaking against its neighbour.
But Dr. Kate Storr says history does highlight the complex situation Pacific states are in.
It's important to remember that these states are vulnerable to climate change. Many are running out of internal sources of revenue, have been really hard hit by the pandemic with the undermining of the tourism industry on which a lot of Pacific Island states depended. So the manoeuvring of great powers within the Pacific through networks of aid and development and infrastructure is a new chapter in a very old game of great power struggle in the Pacific, in which the Pacific Island states themselves, their interests have not been foremost of mind.
That's international law expert Dr. Kate Storr ending Marion Farr's report.